I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and very, very special greetings to mothers today. We want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. We thank God for mothers. Mothers are indeed, as I am going to say, the most beautiful creature God has created. You agree? Yes, of course. And we read the Ten Commandments, not without purpose. You'll find that inserted right in the very, very middle of the Ten Commandments is the commandment in regards to honoring father and mother. So it is a very, very important commandment for us to obey. Honor father and mother. My subject this morning is mother. A distinguished French officer once asked George Washington's mother how she was able to bring up a child that was so splendid in character. How was she able to do it? And Washington's mother replied, "I taught him to obey." And of course, Washington was the first president of the United States. And people say that behind the success of every man is a woman. You agree? Yes, and many people say that it is the wife who is behind the success of the man. But I dare say that many a time it's not just the wife, but I think it is the mother who is the success behind the man. And as in the case of George Washington, and it was the mother who was behind his success. Now we have examples of great men in the Bible who owed their greatness to their mothers. Samuel was one of the greatest judges and prophets of Israel, and he owed his greatness to his mother. He was the son of mother's vow. His mother Hannah was a barren, and she was very, very much taunted by Peninnah. Yes, taunted by her and despised by her. Peninnah, who was the other wife of Elkanah. Hannah was, of course, the wife of Elkanah also. And Hannah was very, very grieved, and she brought this matter before the Lord at the tabernacle at Shiloh. She brought this matter before the Lord. She prayed unto the Lord. And she asked the Lord for a child, of course. And the Lord granted her a child. And her promise to the Lord was that if the Lord gave her that child, she will return that child to the Lord. And she honored her vow. She gave her son back to the Lord. And the son, of course, was Samuel, who grew up to be one of the greatest judges and prophets of Israel. Now then, in the New Testament, we have Timothy. Timothy was a great servant of the Lord. And Timothy owed his greatness to whom? To two women. His grandmother, Louise, and his mother, Eunice. Alright, I'd like us to turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and look at chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. And you'll see that this man, Timothy, owed his greatness to his grandmother and to his mother. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. I read for you. "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience," the great apostle Paul wrote, he was writing to Timothy, "that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." In verse 5, "when I call to remembrance the unfeigned love, unfeigned faith, the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Louise and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So you see, grandmother and mother brought up Timothy, and Timothy became a great servant of the Lord. Yes, they passed down their faith to this grandson and son of theirs. And one of the most famous mothers in church history was none other than Monica. Monica had a very, very famous son in church history, none other than Augustine. And Augustine, when he was a young man, was a philanderer. And it was said that as a teenager, he sowed wild oats and he fathered a child. Now, but Monica prayed very, very diligently, fervently for this son of hers. And her friend told her, the son of so many prayers cannot be lost. The friend told her. And true enough, this son was not lost. Yes, he was gloriously saved and he became one of the greatest saints in church history. Mother is surely the most beautiful creature God has created. She is beautiful not because she is a suitable candidate for a beauty pageant. No, my dear friends, she is beautiful simply because she is mother. You agree? Yes, she is beautiful simply because she is mother. And she is beautiful in her patience. And you know how impatience can make a person look very ugly, right? And often you see such a person, no offense, you see such a person in the doctor's clinic in the form of the receptionist. Isn't it very true? Yes. Often you go to a clinic and then you wait to be attended to by the receptionist, and somehow the receptionist always looks very, very impatient, and because she's very impatient, she looks ugly. Granted, she's busy. While you wait for her to be attended to, she has got many phone calls to attend to. And then finally, when you get a chance to speak to her, she'll look up above her old woman's glasses. Not that she's very old, but she's matured, all right? She's matured. And then she speaks very roughly to you, and she sounds very, very impatient, sometimes to the point of sounding quite impertinent. And you say, wow, how ugly she looks. One time, I went to this doctor's clinic, and there was this receptionist attending to me. Then from my pocket, I took out a tract and I gave to her. She was very amazed that somebody should give her something. And she smiled and she said, thank you. Do you know how beautiful she looked? She looked very, very, very pleasant. It was her impatience that made her ugly. Not that she was ugly. But mother is usually a picture of patience. And that makes mother very, very beautiful. And I'm sure we have seen how kids will howl and yell in public, and then you see, and then you tell yourself, I wish I have the right to grab hold of these children and to give them a good spanking, right? But then you see mother standing by looking at the children very calmly and very coolly. And sometimes she might just show a little frown on the forehead, and then she would sternly tell the son, the naughty son, Tommy, stop it. And that's all. Friends, that's the kind of patience she shows. Now, how can she be so patient? Now, she can be so patient because she's mother. That's why. How beautiful mother looks in her patience. And then we have the situation in which a baby would wake up 2 or 3 times in the night because baby is hungry. Now, can you imagine a situation in which mother will come angrily to baby and shout at baby in the middle of the night, you stupid thing, why must you cry in such an unearthly hour? No mother would do that, right? But with gentleness and with patience, she will hold up the little baby and say, oh, little darling, mother is very, very sorry for being late to feed you. Isn't it true, mothers? I'm sure you do that. And then when the child becomes a teenager, he becomes quite rebellious. Sometimes. And he thinks that mother is a creature that comes from the previous century. Yes. And some teenagers sometimes get out of hand. They might even beat up mother. And sometimes the difference between mother and parents becomes so irreconcilable that the son decides to leave home. Now it's rare that it's a very, very rare mother who would tell the son, son, you get out of the house. I don't want to see you anymore. The father might say that, but not the mother. Right? Mother would usually plead with the son and tell the son not to leave. And when she realizes that she cannot persuade the son to stay, invariably she would tell the son, son, I know I can't stop you from leaving home, but if ever you are in trouble, please know there is a home here for you. That's the love of mother. Yes, that's the patience of mother. How kind, how patient mother is. And don't the patience and the long suffering of Mother remind us of the patience and the long suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think of the countless times we sin against the Lord, and yet His precious blood is so readily available to us, for us to have our sins cleansed. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it was our sins that nailed the Lord to the cross. And while He was on the cross, what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, Mother is patient, Mother is long-suffering, and surely she reminds us very much of our Lord. Now, Mother is beautiful in that she is selfless. Now, I knew of young mothers in Singapore in our church years ago who gave up their jobs to look after the family. And it wasn't that the jobs were low-paying. They were holding very, very good jobs, and these young mothers could very, very well make good careers for themselves. They could have done that very, very easily, because they were very brilliant students in school. Some of them were scholarship students in school, scholarship students in university. Yet they gave up their jobs to look after their children. How sacrificial! And they were very willing and prepared to go for a lower standard of living for the sake of the children. I remember how selfless my mother was. My mother was a very, very simple housewife who came from China, who had too many children. She used, I told you before, she lived in a village that was some distance from town in Singapore. And we stayed in town because our schools were in town. And we had only had the opportunity to visit her during weekends and during school holidays. And then there was this occasion when I visited her and I was about to leave. Then I told my mother, I said, Mom, I want to buy a guitar very much, but I don't have enough money to buy it. And Mother knew how much I love to play the guitar. And then she said to me, okay. And then she lit up her the China woman blouse, and there was the belt. And then there was a pocket attached to the belt. And she took out the money that I wanted to buy my guitar. Yes. She must have given me a huge chunk of her monthly allowance, perhaps her entire monthly allowance. She gave it to me to buy my guitar. How selfless she was. The selflessness of Mother surely reminds us of the selflessness and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was rich, yet for our sake He became poor. Yes, He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yes, He became poor for our sake, so that we might become rich. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Friends, He died for us. He became poor for us. He emptied Himself. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, He died for us so that we might be made just. He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. How sacrificial our Lord is. Now, Mother is beautiful in her being idealistic for her children. She wants the best for the children. She wants the best education for her children. Isn't it true, all mothers here? You surely want the best for your children. And if she is a good Christian mother, she will pray very, very diligently for her children, that the children will come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as of a tender age. And they will pray that the children will grow up to love the Lord and to be able to do the will of the Lord. And then mothers would not be beautiful. Yes, they would not be beautiful if they do not discipline their children. One mother who had several children was asked how she could be such a successful mother. She said this, I made sure that I pet them. When they do well, I pat them high. If they don't do well, I pat them low, so that they'll get the message. Those mothers who discipline their children because they love them and they want the best for them remind us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord loves us, and it's precisely for this reason He loves us and He wants the best for us that He disciplines us, that He chastises us. When we get out of line, when we are wayward, He applies the rod of love on us, yes, so that we get into line again, and so that we will be able to show forth, to shine forth for the Lord Jesus Christ as gold. Mother is beautiful because I'm her favorite child when I need her. Yes? Who says mothers don't have favorites? Mothers, you have favorites? You say, no, we don't have favorites. All mothers have favorites. I can tell you this. All, without exception. You see, when you need her most, you become her favorite. And that's true. Now let me read you this excerpt from a testimony given by this mother. And she says this: every mother has a favorite child. She cannot help it. It is only human. I have mine, she says. The child for whom I feel a special closeness, with whom I share a love that no one else could possibly understand. My favorite child is the one who is too sick to eat ice cream at a birthday party. True? Yes, she becomes your favorite. Who had a fever in the middle of the night, or who suffers an asthma attack. The child in my arms at the emergency ward. She becomes your favorite child. My favorite child spent Christmas alone away from the family, was stranded somewhere, who couldn't come back because he ran short of money. My favorite child is the one who had his bike stolen because of carelessness. My favorite child is the one I punished for lying, grounded for insensitivity to others' feelings, and the one I was told was the greatest pain to the entire family. My favorite child slammed doors in frustration, cried when she didn't think I saw her, withdrew and said she could not talk to me. My favorite child always needed a haircut, was selfish, immature, bad-tempered, and self-centered. He was vulnerable, lonely, unsure of what he was doing in this world. All mothers have their favorite child. It is always the same one, the one who needs you at the moment, who needs you for whatever reason to cling on to shout at, to hurt, to hug, to flatter, to unload, and most of all, mostly just to be there. Yes, the child who is your favorite is the one who needs you to be there when he needs you to be there. That child is your favorite. Isn't it very true, mothers? Yes, you think about it. Yes, and I told you about my mother. She had too many children. There were 12 of us. I never knew that I was mother's favorite. I always thought that it was my youngest brother who was my mother's favorite. But one time, I caught a very, very fierce virus, and I was put down in bed for a good number of days. I was feverish for quite a number of days. I was so weak that I could hardly lift up my eyelids. Mother must have thought that I was dying. And so she sat by my bedside, and for many, many hours every day, she cooked me my special meal, and then she would nurse me, and she would nurse me, and finally she nursed me to health. It's true, I was her favorite child when I needed her most, when I was sick. Surely, mother's care reminds us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who can be more caring than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It is true, mother's care for her children is absolute. But I say this, not absolute, absolute, almost absolute. Yes, because a mother can forget about her child, even her sucking babe. And we read this in Isaiah 49 verse 15 and verse 16. I read for you Isaiah 49 verses 15 and 16. If you want to, please turn to Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Maybe you should turn to these two verses. Very good for us to know. The care of our Lord, Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a mother forget her sucking child? that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, and it's true. Mothers can forget about the babe that is sucking from her breast. Yes, she can, because she could be very, very tired and very, very weary, and then she falls asleep, maybe. But the Lord says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. You know what that means? Graven upon the palms of the Lord's hands. How can he forget us? No, he'll never forget us. Thy walls are continually before me. That is how much care our Lord has for us. When we are in need of his help is readily and effectively available. Mothers, being mothers, will always and always want to help. Which mother doesn't want to help, right? All mothers will always want to help. But there are certain situations in which mother is powerless to help. You think of the situation I was in. I was very ill. Mother thought I was dying. Now, if in fact I was dying, what could mother do? At that time, she was not even a believer. She couldn't even pray for me. What could she do? At most, it was she would just stand there or sit by my bed to watch life ebb away from me. And that was what she could do. But friends, ready and powerful help is available in the Lord. He does not forget us. Our lives are in his hands. And if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been engraven into the palms of the hands of our Lord. If he so wishes to help us, if he so wishes to heal us, my dear friends, he is able to do so, because nothing is impossible with him. Now let's come back to mother. Mother is beautiful because she is patient, because she is kind, loving, selfless, very idealistic for her children. Mother cares for her children. Yes, her care for children is very, very sacrificial. That's why mother is so beautiful. Now, mother is such a beautiful creation of God. So the question is, how should we appreciate her? How? Not long ago, I saw on television this teenage girl who was so violent that she beat up her mother. Yes, she broke her nose and broke several of her ribs. She nearly killed her mother, and the mother had to be hospitalized. And after the mother had been discharged from hospital, what did she do to the daughter? Commit her to an institution? No, friends, the mother took her bag. And we said, how could the daughter be so ungrateful to mother? How could she be so unkind to mother? How could she treat mother in that manner? And friends, if you sense anger rising in you when you think of this teenager, my dear friends, that anger is good anger. It is righteous anger. But the point is this. We say, true, we will not ill-treat mother the way this teenager treated her mother. But are we sure, my dear friends, that we do not mistreat mother? Sometimes we are very, very capable of mistreating her. In Singapore, we read of children and their widowed biological mother going to court to fight over a property left behind by their late father and by her late husband. It has happened, friends. It has happened in Singapore. I do not know whether it's happened here in Australia or not, but I'm sure there will be such instances here also in Australia. Then we also heard of parents who bequeath their property to the son. When they are still alive, they sign the title over to the son. And the son gets married, and after the son got married, the young couple then decided that they cannot live with their parents. But they don't move out of the house. They say, you old folks, you move out of the house. And then they place them in the garage to live in the garage. Then we say, how can this happen? My dear friends, it can happen, and it has happened. Now, it can happen because of the wickedness of the heart of man. Man's heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. It can be so wicked that it blatantly breaks the fifth commandment of the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother. Friends, we who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must show forth our belief in him by honoring father and mother. And I tell you, we will be very, very hypocritical if we profess to be believers in the Lord and then we do not honor them. And that was the case with the scribes and Pharisees during the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth. And the Lord condemned them for their hypocrisy. I'd like you to please turn with me to Mark chapter 7 and verses 10 to 13, and you see how hypocritical they were. And they taught their followers to be hypocritical also. Mark 7:10-13. Verse 10. For Moses said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But he say, if a man shall say to his father or his mother, it is korban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be freed." Verse 12. And the Lord says, "And you suffer him no more." In other words, you do not allow him to do what was right for him to do for his father and his mother. I read for you, "And he suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother." Verse 13. "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." The scribes and Pharisees in the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ encouraged people to give money to the Temple of Jerusalem, give money for holy causes, and then at the same time they taught their followers this. They said, "The money that you designated for this holy purpose, which is called Korban, once it has been dedicated or designated, you are free from using it to support your parents." In other words, you don't have to use that sum of money to take care of your parents anymore. You're free. You don't have to take care of them. How hypocritical could these teachers and their followers be? The Word of God tells us very, very clearly that if we fail to look after our parents, our loved ones, we are worse than infidels. You know what infidels are? Unbelievers, unworthy people, infidels. 1 Timothy 5:8. I'd like us to turn to this first, 1 Timothy 5:8, and look at this very word that was made use of by the great Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. I read for you. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." My dear friends, if you do not take care of your parents and do not provide for them, the word says this: you are worse than an infidel. Now, the reason why we could be negligent in our care for our parents, and I'm referring to those people who are married, is that we have misinterpreted the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in regards to the marriage relationship and in regards to our relationship to our parents. The Word of God gives us this teaching in regards to the marriage relationship. It tells us very, very clearly in Genesis chapter 2, 23, 24, I read for you. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now this teaching is right, absolutely right. And it is true, for a healthy marriage, the two must be one. But friends, it is really true that for a healthy marriage, the two must be one, and the man must be very, very prepared to cut the string that ties him to his mother's apron. But that does not mean that the couple should dissociate themselves from the parents or cut themselves off from their parents. And it does not mean that the married couple is now allowed to neglect the care for their parents. The Word of God does not contradict itself. No, it does not. Yes, the two shall be one. The man and wife shall be one. But at the same time, they have to continue to honor their parents, to honor the father and the mother. And we must care for our parents in a very practical way. Here in Australia, which is very inclined to welfareism, people are very inclined to leave the care of their aged parents to the state, isn't it true? And we tell ourselves, our folks had done their national service during the time they had paid their taxes. And now it's our turn, we pay our taxes. And so it is the responsibility of the state to take care of our aged parents, and when our turn comes, it is the duty and the responsibility of the state to take care of us. Some truth in that. But friends, true, the state has some responsibilities. But the primary responsibility of the care for our parents rests with whom? The state or with us? Friends, if you are an unbeliever, you can of course say it's the state. But you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so what must it be? The primary responsibility lies with whom? With us, yes. The care from the state, even if it is sufficient monetarily, cannot replace the love that you owe to your parents. That's true. And we are not only to show the usual children to parents kind of love, which people in the world are very capable of showing. But friends, we must do more than that. We must be able to show agape love, sacrificial love to our parents, to our mother. Has not mother sacrificed for us? Yes. So, should we not in return make her life comfortable and enjoyable in her evening years? Should we not do that? Of course we should be doing that. That is our responsibility. And if we really want to honor father and mother, that is what we must do. And right now, what should you do for mother? I'm talking about mothers of all ages. What should you do for mother? Show her love, of course. And love is kind. Show kindness to mother. Don't make mother worry. Now, if she worries about certain things that you might do, that will cause hurt to yourself, my dear friends, I'm talking to young people now particularly, show that you are very, very responsible and you know how to take care of yourself, and don't cause your mother to worry. Mother might worry about your safety, and she is very, very concerned about your well-being, and she is very, very worried whenever you come home late. So what ought you not to do, friends? You shouldn't be coming home late, so that mother won't worry very much for you. Yes, free her from this worry. Show her that you are very responsible. And then instead of rebelling against parents, show love. Show love by obeying them. The word of God is very clear. It was read earlier on. You read that earlier on, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Did you read that? Did you hear that? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Young people, if you really want not only to be hearers of the word, but doers as well, the word of God is very, very clear. Obey your parents in the Lord. Recognize that they want the best for you. Yes, mothers are very idealistic, right? They always want the best for you. Recognize that obedience is for your own good, and obedience is honoring to your parents. Honoring to the Lord. Yes, but the word of God has a qualification. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. And that's very important. In other words, if your parents require you to do things that are not in accordance with the word of God, you don't have to obey. If your parents ask you to lie or to cheat, you don't have to obey. Alright, it is only in those circumstances that you are free to disobey. Now, love is courteous. Show her love. Be courteous to mother. One of the things children, especially young people, are very, very capable of doing when they reach teenage years is to be very rude to their parents. Some go to the extent of cursing and swearing at parents. And as we said, that girl, remember, teenage girl, she beat up her mother. But friends, let's most of all keep watch over our tongue. Yes, because it's so easy for us to abuse our mother with our tongue. The tongue is for us to show forth praises unto the Lord. How can we praise the Lord with our tongue when we make use of it at the same time to curse and swear at mother? For young people, if you have hurt mother, today is a very, very good time to say sorry to her. Mother's Day, say sorry to her. And if you have never told mommy how much you love her, have you ever told mommy how much you love her? Now, if you have never told mommy how much you love her, today is a very, very good day to go up to tell mommy how much you love her. Tell her that. Yes, you make Mother's Day very, very meaningful to her. Next, you show love for mother by praying for her. Do you pray for mother? I know mother prays for children. I'm not sure if children will pray for mother, but you must be praying for mother. Do you pray that the Lord will bless her with good health and with strength and with joy and with peace? Do you pray that mother will have her faith increased by the Lord? And do you tell mother that you pray for her? Now, if you have been praying for mother, go and tell mommy, I've been praying for you. Go and tell her that. And if she is an unbeliever, have you been praying for her that she will come to trust Jesus as your Lord, as her Lord and Savior? Friends, tell her that. Pray for her that she will come and trust the Lord. And the greatest love that you can show to mother, if mother is not a believer, is to give her the gospel. And if she comes and trusts Jesus as the Lord and as her Lord and Savior, she will have received the greatest gift from the Lord through you to her. And when ought you to show love to mother? When? Today, because it's Mother's Day. No, my dear friends, every day, not only on Mother's Day, we show love to mother every day. When she is alive, show her love. Don't wait until she has passed away, then you say, I wish I had shown love to mother. And you regret that you didn't show her enough love. Today, when she's alive, show her love. In Singapore, non-Christians in particular are very, very fond of doing this. They try to make up for what they had lacked in doing for their parents when they were alive. So, when the parents pass away, what they do is they hold a very, very elaborate Chinese funeral rite. They can run up to thousands and thousands of dollars. What's the purpose? The purpose is to show that they are filial to their parents. Or the purpose is to show, to try to make up for the lack of filial piety that they should have given, shown to their parents when they were alive. Now, do I have any regrets in regards to my love for mother? Yes, I have. I want to tell you this, and I regret very, very much that I didn't show this love to mother when I could have done it. Years ago, my wife and I went on our first holiday trip. We have never gone overseas for holiday trips, and that was our first trip abroad. Mother knew that we were going abroad. And then she came up to me and said, "Son, can I come along with you?" It was very hard to answer that question. And it sounded quite funny to me because mother should ask that of me. And at that time, I said funny because mother was really not in a very good condition to go. She had just suffered a stroke. And she was actually becoming a little senile. And I was telling myself that if she went with us, then she would be an impediment to our enjoyment. And so I told mother, "Mom, I'm sorry, you cannot come along with us." And I knew she was very, very sad she couldn't go with us. And then she passed away. Now, how I wish I had that incident all over again. Now, if I have it over again, if she had asked me that question, "Son, can I come along with you?" You know what I would have said to her? "Yes, mother, please come along." I would surely have said that. But now it's too late, you see, it's too late. So my dear friends, if you have opportunities to show love to your mother, show them now, alright? Don't wait until mother passes away or mother is not able to enjoy what you want to give her to enjoy. Then you say, "I want to give her that enjoyment." No, show it now. Mother is the most beautiful earthling the Lord has created. She's beautiful because she's patient. She's beautiful because she's selfless. Beautiful because she's idealistic. She wants the best for her children. And she is beautiful because I am her favorite child when I need her most. And she's very beautiful because she's the most caring person on earth to me. Surely, mother reminds us of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He loves us. He cares for us. We are His peculiar treasure. He loved us so much that He went to the cross of Calvary for us. Mother indeed loves us, or the Lord indeed loves us sacrificially. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Mother, yes, Mother is indeed the most beautiful creature God has created. So, what must we do? Show her appreciation. We are to honor her, love her, care for her when she is too old to care for herself. And the greatest gift that we can give to her, if she is an unbeliever, is to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to her. And as I said earlier on, if she comes and trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, she would have received the greatest gift from the Lord to you, to her. Yes. And if our appreciation to her is to mean anything, show the appreciation when she is alive. Show it now. Why don't you start showing it today? My dear friends, Mother's Day 2009, a very, very appropriate time for us to show our appreciation to Mother. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for Your goodness. Oh Lord, we thank You for giving us mothers. We thank You that Mother is the most beautiful creature that You have created. We thank You for her kindness, her patience, her love, her care, her sacrifice for us. And we thank You that we are her favorite child when we need her most. And how we thank You that Mother reminds us of the love and care of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this morning for those who are still outside the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly mothers here. We pray that You speak to them and cause them, Lord, to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this morning, O Lord, we pray that all of us here may know how to show appreciation for Mother. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.